This is a Space Wizards Tavern production.
Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on galactic history. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on lesser known Jedi. You've selected a lecture on Yaddle. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Todd, I don't think it makes any difference. What is the big deal?
What's the big deal? The admissions office for the West 1004th Street Jedi Temple brought you here for some unknown reason, and now they think you're going to fulfill some prophecy about Zane Organo, the world's best holodrama actor, to keep the temple from closing down by graduating.
Well, that's a pretty good synopsis, actually, but you are only assuming that the prophecy is about Zane Organo. The prophecy only mentioned an accomplished and awarded figure of many faces. I am all of those things.
Is this about the time you won that Porg cook-off?
This is absolutely about the time that I won the Porg cook-off. There was like 15 Wookiees in that contest, and it was judged by a Wookiee. Do you know what the odds are of me winning that contest?
I do, actually. I took a bath on that bet.
Bath. Bath? Bath. Really? Is that a Mon Calamari joke? Well, you shouldn't have bet against me. The point is that the prophecy could totally be about me.
You're not the least bit concerned that the temple only took you because somehow your resume looks like Zane Organo's? Did you even submit a resume? An application?
Nope. I don't know how or why, but I'm here now. Plus, all I have to do is graduate and a prophecy comes true. I mean, how cool is that?
But the prophecy's probably not even about you.
Again, I do not care. But I assume that fulfilling a prophecy is more lucrative than not fulfilling a prophecy, right? Plus, I'm already here.
My ancestors made a prophecy once.
What? I'm sorry, I'm not listening. I was thinking about that Porg cook-off again. I mean, really. My finest hour.
Sir, can we at least investigate this prophecy you think is about you?
Fine. But first I have to do a lecture to make sure the University of Coruscant keeps sending me those paychecks. I mean, who would have guessed that tuition at this place is so high? The walls in my dorm are literally paper thin. I accidentally sneezed a hole in one yesterday. Alrighty. Let's do this. What if you were born with an insanely strong connection to the Force? But not only that, your natural talents were supplemented with an incredibly strong will and moral compass. You were the model of an ideal Jedi and rose to the top of the Jedi Order, being put on the Council. The Jedi Council. The top percent of a percent of a percent of Jedi. And if that didn't make you unique enough, you come from a species that is so rare that there isn't even a name for it. And after all of that, after all of these things that make you stand out as a unique shining star in the galaxy, every time anyone sees you, they say, "Hey, you look just like that famous guy, except you have hair." This is the story of Yaddle. Now, I'm being funny here, of course. I'm always funny. It's a gift. But I guess here I'm putting a point on it. We cannot go any further before we talk about Yaddle and Yoda's species, because it is just wild to me that this is still a thing. I want you to think about this. Thousands of years of galactic history, trillions of data pages written and studied about all the various planets and species in our beautiful galaxy. We know more about the Gungan digestive system than I ever imagined that we could or would want to. You can look up how big a Gamorrean baby is when it's born, although I would really not recommend that one. But then we have this one species, which normally I would call the Yoda species, but this isn't about Yoda. This is about Yaddle. So we're going to give her her due and call it the Yaddle species. And it's not like we know everything about everything. Wild space is a region that we know incredibly little about. There is all sorts of weird crap in the galaxy, and probably zillions of species that are just walking around out there on some rock that we've never seen. But this is different. We've seen like 3, maybe 4 of this species in galactic history, and 2 of them were on the Jedi Council. Do you know what the odds of that are? You'd need like 5 protocol droids to figure it out, and then you'd have to talk to a protocol droid, so forget that. The point is, how is this possible? How can you have a species that has such a massive impact on galactic history and still know nothing about them? We don't even have a name for that species. We just call them the Yaddle species. See what I did there? Yes, Master Yoda steals the show. And to be fair, he was a bit more talented than Yaddle. And I don't think that I'm putting Yaddle down by saying that. Master Yoda was arguably the most talented and accomplished Jedi in the history of the galaxy, so even being slightly behind that is pretty high praise. But enough about Yoda, this is Yaddle's story. Ugh, this is gonna be harder than I thought. Yaddle. I guess I normally start these lectures by telling you where Yaddle was born, but Hoth if I knew. If I knew that, we could probably have skipped that entire rant that I just did. I can tell you that she was born around 500 BBY and lived to the ripe old age of about 480 before dying in a very noble death, which was not the Jedi Purge, or so historians say. Yaddle was a Jedi Consular, and I don't mean counselor, I mean consular. I haven't really talked a lot about this, but back in the day, some historians liked to categorize the various kinds of Jedi. Remember how last season we talked about Sith basically being either monstrously aggressive combatants or behind-the-scene manipulators? Sure, I mean, it's not a perfect split, but a lot of them seem to fit nicely into those little categories. Except Darth Bane. He was kind of both. Anyways, historians tried to do the same thing with the Jedi. There was the Jedi Guardians, who were the martial fighters of the Jedi Order, and then there were Jedi Consulars, who preferred to find balance and spent their time honing their connection to the Force. There was a third category, the Jedi Sentinels, who were kind of both, but I think that's dumb. I prefer to unnecessarily shoehorn people into stark categories to make myself feel better. A lot of the Jedi Consulars had green lightsabers, like Yoda, but Yaddle had just a little bit more flair than that. Can you say orange lightsaber? How cool is that? And she could swing it too. Just because you're a Consular doesn't mean that you won't lop off a limb here or there if the situation calls for it. Yaddle didn't get to the top of the Jedi Order by being scared to tangle. Something else unique about Yaddle was her ability to channel something called Force Light. I know that this sounds like some sort of holo game or something where someone gets an upgrade or a special power, but this is really how the galaxy works. Not all Jedi can do the same things. Best I can tell, they can all run fast and jump high, but at the highest echelons, a few Jedi could do some pretty spectacular things. One of them that instantly comes to mind is Satil Shan's battle meditation, which is an entirely separate lecture unto itself. Well, Yaddle had one of those too. Yaddle could use Force Light. She wasn't the only one. I think Nomi Sunrider was probably the most notable, and Jacen Solo, but woof. Jacen Solo opens up a totally different debate amongst historians. The point is that Force Light was extremely rare. Force Light, to me, is about the most pure light side thing that a Jedi could do. You are literally channeling the light side of the Force as a weapon against the darkness. You are attacking the darkness with light, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of new to this, but from what they say, you channel the light side to weaken or even purge the dark side from your enemy. So, if, say, your opponent is a dark side user like a Sith, well, that's going to be pretty disastrous for them. There's about 100 examples over the years of things that can cause problems for Jedi accessing the light side of the Force. I wouldn't say it's common, but it's happened more than a few times in history. But something that disturbs the ability to access the dark side? Well, this is the only game in town that I know of. So if only a few Jedi in history have been known for it, well, that puts Yaddle in some rarefied air. The first widely known documentation of Yaddle happens at around 300 BBY. Yaddle is a Padawan to a Jedi Knight named Polvin Coot. They went to a planet called Koba to liberate it from a warlord known as Tulok. Now, this is not the Sith Tulok Horde. This is just another Tulok. Kind of embarrassing, but, you know, whatever. I guess it'd be like showing up to school and saying your name was Obi-Wan. I'm sorry, that's taken. Is there anything else you'd like to be called? Anyways, Polvin gets ahead of his skis and ends up being beheaded, which is less than ideal. Yaddle is captured and tortured for information, but Yaddle shows the first signs of being a legend here by resisting. Like, completely. She doesn't buckle, no matter what Tulok does. So he gives up and just keeps her as a bargaining chip for some future event. For a century. She's basically just a thing that's eventually always been there. She's known as the One Below, since she's held in an underground chamber. Eventually, she relies almost solely on the Force for survival, which you don't hear a lot about, but I kind of think is a pretty big deal. When she's down there, she comes to peace with her role in the galaxy. There's a lot of time for meditation when you're in a hole in the ground for a century. Tulok dies of old age, and the generations of Koba turn over. Yaddle becomes more myth than captive, and she doesn't blame the new generations for the sins of her previous captors. But this new generation wasn't exactly thriving. Tulok's brutal reign had impoverished the locals. So when an earthquake came and shifted her prison, Yaddle saw her chance at daylight and rocketed out of the hole. Instead of finding resistance, she found famine and desperation. The people of Koba were barely surviving, let alone prepared for a natural disaster. So what does Yaddle do? Well, not what I would do. Maybe I shouldn't say this in a Jedi temple, but it would be a hard sell to get me to do anything nice to the people that kept me in a dirt pit for a century. But, you know, I guess that's why I'm not on the Jedi Council. Yet. Yaddle helps, and not just a little. She rebuilds their society from the ground up. Yaddle refuses to go back to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Probably not this Jedi Temple. Anyway, she refuses to go back until the work on Koba is finished, and the people of Koba, well, they became a big fan of this little green Jedi. But Tulok's son had replaced his father as warlord and decided that it was time to take advantage of whatever prosperity might be in the cards for Koba. The citizens of Koba were too weak to defend themselves, but guess who had 100 years of practice fighting with a stick? There was a duel, and I think you can imagine how that ended. Yaddle gave a wicked stick beating to Tulok's son and eventually liberated her previous captors. Koba was free. Now, it's not hard to imagine that after that kind of display, Yaddle would end up in the upper echelons of the Jedi. She was a paragon. She was relied on for her wisdom and patience and known to be one of the most thoughtful Jedi masters of her time. She was also a teacher and known to be a bit playful with the younglings, sneaking sweets into their pockets. The end for Yaddle came in another storybook fashion. About 26 years BBY, she joined Obi-Wan Kenobi and his Padawan, Anakin Skywalker, for a mission to the planet Mawan in order to restore peace. Unfortunately, Yaddle was put in a terrible position and sacrificed her life by absorbing a bioweapon, saving an entire city, but killing her instantly. She was believed to be the last Jedi killed before the Clone Wars. So, When someone talks about a legendary green Jedi on the council known for wisdom and thoughtfulness, surprise them and ask, "Do you mean Yaddle?" She sits in the long shadow cast by Master Yoda, but was a pillar of the light side. But despite her amazing story, it does seem fitting that she is lesser known. I mean, don't you think she would have wanted it that way? Instead of returning to Coruscant as a POW for a planet-wide parade in her honor, she stayed and rebuilt a society of her captors for as long as it took. If you're looking for the ultimate example of the light side of the Force, maybe the little green Jedi that you're looking for had a luxurious head of hair. What is that sound?
That? Oh, someone's got the local comm station on. I think the DJ is right around this corner.
Hang on. The station that is playing this music is in the Jedi Temple. Like, right behind this door. And by the way, not a lot of rooms in this temple. These guys run out of budget for doors or something.
And that's Jedi Rocks by the Max Rebo Band on 100.7 The Porg. Max Flaxer here until the midnight hour, looking good and sounding better. Time for a quick commercial break. Hey, you think you could just walk right in here like that? I'm doing important stuff here. I was on the air.
Yeah, I'm real sorry about that, but I got like 30 questions right now. You are broadcasting rock music to Jedi.
Yeah, but just to the ones on Coruscant.
Still, I mean, all the Jedi on Coruscant is a pretty big audience.
No, just the ones in this temple.
So, okay, wait. You're broadcasting to the Jedi, but just the Jedi in this temple.
Yeah, but my listenership numbers are fantastic. Almost total saturation.
Well, I would expect so. Isn't there a better gig out there for DJs?
I prefer to think of myself as a Jedi first.
What the Force? You're a Jedi? Why? What the Hoth is going on here? How did you even get into this?
I like to think it was my silky smooth voice, but I don't know. It's just the path that was assigned to us at the Academy.
I'm sorry, us? You mean there's more Jedi DJs out there? Is this like a Jedi career path?
The Jedi DJ Corps, or is that pronounced core? Yeah, I think it's pronounced core. It's core. The Jedi DJ Corps.
Yeah, it's core. Whatever. This is insane. Is that microphone a lightsaber hilt?
Pretty cool, huh? I took a Surosub SM7B and I put it in the top and it's just perfect.
Uh-huh. Perfect. Don't you think it's a little dangerous to put your face about 2 inches from a lightsaber?
No, there's a safety. Listen, anyway, I'd love to keep talking to a fan, but I gotta go live here. And we're back. Nax Flaxer's got an oldie but a goodie right here for you. It's Jedi Rocks by the Max Rebo Band on 100.7 The Porg.
Holy Gundark, this is the same song you just played.
Pretty sure it's not. Anyway, here's a signed headshot. Thanks for stopping.
Cool photo. He even signed it. To fan. Thanks for stopping. Jedi Rock. Nax Flaxer.
To fan? He didn't even recognize me. Did you know there was a Jedi DJ Corps?
Oh yeah. The temple on Yavin really slaps.
Ugh. Please don't try to sound cool, Todd.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
This is a Space Wizards Tavern production.